Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. This is Abdul Nasser Jengda and you're listening to the Qalam podcast. Qalam is an organization dedicated to making Islamic knowledge accessible for everyone. Alhamdulillah, the month of Ramadan is a very beautiful and powerful opportunity for learning and spiritual growth in the life of a Muslim. Therefore, Qalam has put together amazing resources for you and your family, your community to benefit from in the month of Ramadan, from a webinar on how to prepare to recitation of the entire Quran, the meaning and the message of the whole Quran, the du'as from the Quran, special webinars and events in regards to the Battle of Badr, the last 10 nights and Laylatul Qadr, and so much more. We're very excited and happy to bring you all of this Ramadan programming. Be a part of the good work that we are doing at Qalam, educating Muslims, educating people all around the world by going to supportqalam.com. Donate, contribute, give generously, and have your share in the Sadaqa Jariya and the amazing work that is going on. Supportqalam, QALAM.com. Jazakumullahu khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Bismillahi walhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillahi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Welcome back to another session of Ramadan FAQs where we are answering the questions that y'all are sending in, a lot of the questions that people have during the month of Ramadan. It doesn't necessarily have to be about the month of Ramadan. That ends up being the case a lot of times. They're about fasting, they're about zakat, and different things. But nonetheless, Ramadan is a time where, because everyone is a little bit more dialed in, people do end up having a lot more questions. So we're trying to answer those questions, alhamdulillah. Before I get started, and I know it probably sounds like I say this a lot, but supportqalam.com. Supportqalam.com. Why do I say this so much? Because if you have been listening to the podcast, which there are millions of people all around the world that regularly listen to the podcast, if you have taken any classes, watched any videos, benefited from the knowledge and the scholars at Qalam, alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah, we're happy and very, you know, honored to be of service. But we need your help to keep this work going and to increase this work. So I ask you to go to supportqalam.com, share that link with everybody, and inshallah, donate and contribute generously. Jazakumullah khairan. So let's go ahead and jump into the questions for today. I know that we're starting a little bit late. I apologize for that. I had classes all day long, and so some of the classes went kind of over time. So I'm just now coming straight from another program to this program. So alhamdulillah. So first of all, some questions about fasting that people had. Number one, fasting in Shawwal. Someone's asking the question, can I make the intention for the 6 days first and then later on my makeup fasts, right? So if somebody missed some fast in Ramadan, like a sister due to her days of menstruation, she was not able to fast, or somebody was traveling or somebody was sick or ill, whatever the case was, they were not able to fast for a number of days. Now, let's say they have 6 days to make up, and then there's the 6 days of Shawwal. So they're asking, can they make the intention for the 6 days of Shawwal before doing their makeup fast? Yes, absolutely you can. Because you have all year long to make up your fast. The six fasts of Shawwal are virtuous within the month of Shawwal, according to the majority opinion. So you can go ahead and prioritize the six fasts of Shawwal. The second question about fasting that we have here today. The second question is, can I make up fasts for my deceased father who was sick and previously missed them. So the scenario is, and this is a question I get asked a lot, that someone had an elderly or sick parent who was not able to keep their fast, or just in general, maybe they didn't, you know, may Allah forgive them, they didn't keep their fasts, okay? And then they pass away. So now there's the question, can I make up their fast for them? No, you cannot. So the thing is, physical worship, like fasting, like salah, one person cannot physically do it on another person's behalf. The obligations. Your dhuhr prayer, nobody else can pray your dhuhr on your behalf. Your asr, nobody else can pray your asr on your behalf. You have to do it. And if you don't do it, nobody else can do it. Fasting, I have to fast Ramadan. Nobody can fast on my behalf. However, if in this question, the deceased parent, they were sick before they passed away, and that's why they weren't fasting, you can pay fidya, $10 per day that they were not able to fast due to their sickness. You can pay that on their behalf because it's financial, but you can't physically do an act of obligatory worship on somebody else's behalf. Wallahu ta'ala alam bisawab. There's no difference of opinion here. There's no difference of opinion. I've been hearing this a lot this Ramadan, more so this Ramadan than in previous years. And I was, and yes, somebody asked on Instagram, that is just for fard ibadah, right? Only for your obligations, all right? And but for some reason, I've been hearing that a lot this year than as compared to previous years. And I'm not really sure where that's coming from, but there's no difference of opinion there. Somebody asked a follow-up question, is Hajj included in the physical worship? No, Hajj is the exception to the rule. Why? Why is Hajj the exception to the rule? Because the Prophet ﷺ said so. That's why, right? The Prophet ﷺ can make an exception. And he did make an exception for Hajj and only Hajj. And also Hajj is not purely physical. There's also a financial component. Man istata'a ilayhi sabila. You not only have to be physically capable of doing Hajj, you have to be able to afford doing Hajj. All right? So that's the reason why. Now, some zakat related questions. So let me see some of the online questions that are being asked here as well, because, you know, I appreciate y'all jumping on and joining the stream. So might as well answer. Somebody said, if I have 10K in my account and at the time of the 11th month, I gain another 5K, do I pay zakat on 10 or 15K? I didn't hold the 15K for a full year. So technically, you could pay only on the 10K. But then because you got the 15th K in the 11th month, then you're going to have to keep track of 12 months on that 5K. So when 12 months occur on that 5K, then you're going to have to pay off that 5K. And then 2 months after that, you got to pay on the other 10K. And before you know it, you got like six different days in a year on which you pay zakat on different increments within your overall assets. At some point, you can see how that's going to become very difficult to manage. Therefore, the recommendation is you fix a zakat date. You fix a zakat date. The first of Ramadan, the first of January, whatever works for you. Okay? You fix a zakat date. And on that date, you will give 2.5% of whatever is in your savings account, whatever is in your investments. Even if it was just gained in just 2 months, because if you think about it, ultimately, at the end of the day, everything's going to kind of round itself off. But that is my recommendation. That is the recommendation of a lot of scholars, because just the way that our accounts and our assets and things like that work these days is very difficult to keep track of everything. Wallahu ta'ala alam bisawab. And I hope that that makes sense. Sorry. Wallahu ta'ala alam bisawab. And I hope that that makes sense to everyone, inshallah. I'm just checking here if there were any other zakat related questions. Can zakat be given to siblings? Yes, it can. Zakat cannot be given to parents and grandparents, children and grandchildren, or lower. I mean, typically most people don't interact with the third generation back or the third generation forward, but whatever. Your parents, grandparents, great-grandparents, you cannot give zakat to them. Your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, you cannot give zakat to them. But you can give zakat to any and all other relatives. You can give to your siblings. You can give to your aunts and uncles. You can give to your nephews and nieces. You can give zakat anywhere else, but not your children, not your parents. Usul and furu'. That is the rule. All right. So someone is asking that if I have already verbally committed to X amount of dollars sadaqah to be paid to an organization between now and the end of the year, do I count that as a deduction from my zakat, zakatable assets? No, you do not. No, you do not. Because you only count against your zakatable assets once it's like a debt that is owed. If you made a promise to give charity to an organization, you should keep that promise, but it's not the same as money that is owed to someone. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam bissawab. Okay. Kind of going back to fasting, someone saying, if you break a fast on accident, do you not have to make that up? If you ate or drank something accidentally, then you do not have to make that up. There's a hadith of the Prophet ﷺ that says you do not have to. Just say Alhamdulillah and keep on fasting. All right. MashaAllah, my good friend, Saqib is asking, to be more specific, this is not a scheduled monthly sustainer type donation. It's a commitment to pay X K in whatever lumps and whatever frequency between now and December, ideally as soon as possible. So there's one thing I can recommend, and this is not a loophole. I'm not giving a loophole, but I, now that I know, you know, who the questioner is and kind of what specifically he's asking about, what I would recommend in that scenario is go ahead and take that promised amount and just move it into a separate account. And that becomes kind of a way that you set it aside, right? And that will allow you to then count that as a deduction from the zakatable assets, and Allah knows best, all right? Zakat just has that kind of sensitivity about it, you know? So I don't mean to be too technical and too nitpicky, but zakat is just one of those very delicate kind of things. Do we have a lecture on the criteria of those that zakat should be given to? Absolutely. If you go to the Qalam website, supportqalam.com. See, this is why I tell y'all, y'all got to support. Why? If you go to the Qalam website, if you just go to qalam.institute, it'll land on the page that says Ramadan resources. You go to the Ramadan resources page, and over there, you will see a workshop done on the fiqh of zakat. All right, so I'm going to share this here online, hopefully. I'll do it correctly. For those that are on Instagram, you might not be able to, but just try to follow along with what I'm saying. If you go to qalam.institute, and those are that are on Facebook and YouTube, you see the page now, you click Ramadan program. When you click Ramadan program, you'll see everything you need for Ramadan 2021, all of our programs, and you'll come down over here, and you will see Ramadan webinars all over here and questions about Ramadan. And you keep scrolling. And there are zakat resources here as well, right here. Sorry about that. It's called Have Questions About Ramadan. It's called Fiqh of Zakat. Once you click it, you are now watching the Fiqh of Zakat workshop conducted by none other than Mufti Kamani.
But if at any point Sally does figure out how to join us, dingy. Because once a person starts earning money, it's easy to get greedy. Allah will afflict a people with drought. Receivables means.
So there, right there, you have the zakat resources. So that is on the Qalam website. It's a free, open resource available to everybody. So please do check that out. Okay. Now, let me see here if there are any other. Okay. Very good. So now there are some zakat questions here as well off of Facebook. Let me take those real quickly. Can zakat be paid partially? Yes, it can. Yes, it can. It's all about your intention. So it absolutely can be paid partially. They're saying I can pay in a span of 2 to 3 months. Yes, you can do that. Someone is asking, should I pay zakat on my wife's personal jewelry? Technically speaking, it is your wife's responsibility, but you, as her husband, can absolutely do that on her behalf. You can do that for her. There's nothing prohibiting it, just obviously as long as she knows and she gives permission for that. And can I pay zakat in gifts? I want to know as I want to gift an orphan. You absolutely can. You absolutely can. At the time of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, there was no standardized currency. So everyone was paying zakat in different items. Now, one of the questions that we had submitted, and somebody asked that question on Facebook as well, and that is zakat on retirement accounts. So somebody asked, do we owe zakat on retirement funds like an IRA? All right. When it comes to IRAs, it actually depends on what kind of a retirement account that you have. If you have a Roth IRA that you can access and don't have penalties on, then you do have to pay zakat on it. Whatever is in that account every year, you've got to give 2.5% of that. If you have a traditional IRA account that you do not have access to without penalties, then you do not have to pay zakat on it because your access to it is limited and you only have to pay zakat on funds that you have access to. So you do not have to pay zakat on a traditional IRA until you cash it out, all right? And then at that time, you cash it out. It comes into your account. It comes into your possession. After a year passes, then you'll pay zakat on it. So you'll just treat it like any other kind of wealth that you have newly acquired at that moment. That is the understanding generally. There's some difference of opinion, of course, in contemporary issues. There's always going to be a little bit of difference of opinion. But nonetheless, that is generally the understanding, and that is my recommendation. Wallahu ta'ala alam, and Allah knows best. Now, another question that we have here, we have some questions about Ramadan and spirituality. Someone says, what can I do in the last nights if I have a 4-month-old and I'm exhausted by the end of the day? Quality over quantity. Quality over quantity. Everybody say it with me. Quality over quantity. Okay? It is about the quality of the deed and not the quantity. If there was ever a moment to remember that, it is right now. That is the whole purpose behind Laylatul Qadr. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, there are two narrations. One narration from, I believe, Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, or Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, says that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told him about a man in one of the previous nations, one of the previous, you know, followers of the previous prophets. He went and, you know, fought in battle for, you know, 80 years consecutively, 70 years consecutively. And the Sahaba, when they heard that, they were very envious and they said, we can't do that. You know, we don't live long enough to be able to do that. And Suratul Qadr came down that if you're worshiping in one night, worshiping these 10 days, the reward is greater than worshiping for 1,000 months. All right. Another narration says the Prophet ﷺ told them about somebody that for 80 years he spent his life fasting every day, praying every night, fasting every day, praying every night. And he spent 80 years that way. So the Sahaba were very envious when they heard that we don't even live to be 80. And again, Suratul Qadr, they were reminded of that, that worshiping this one night can actually fetch you a reward that is greater than 1,000 months. So quality over quantity, sister. So if you are able to just sit and read a little bit of Quran, listen to some Quran. If you're able to just kind of sit in bed while holding your baby and just make dua, Allah will accept that from you. You have to know that. You got to believe that. You got to feel that. All right? That is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There were some follow-up questions here. Very good questions about zakat. So let me try to tackle them. So my friend says, assuming same rule for 401k that you don't have access to as what you mentioned about Roth IRA. Yes, Saqib, correct. So the same logic would apply in the case of 401k. You don't have access to it. It's not unrestricted access. You'll be heavily penalized and so on and so forth. So then the same logic would apply that you do not have to pay zakat on it. So I had this somebody said, I had this misconception that all of our zakat must be paid in Ramadan. What about zakat on 401k, same as RRA? Same logic would apply there. And no, your zakat does not have to all be paid in Ramadan. I mean, technically, you can pay it at any time during the year. If you want the reward of Ramadan, then you give it in Ramadan. Give as much as you can, but ultimately, you are not restricted. Do you have to pay zakat if you have outstanding student loan debt? It just depends. Your assets. So you take your assets, you minus the student loan debt against it. Student loan debt is a little bit different. So for student loans this year, because of the government forbearance, there's no interest and no required payments per month, but it's so aggressively paying to take care of debt. What should we do? Okay. But if still aggressively paying to take care of debt, what should we do? So that's a very good question. And see, that's very important information that we need to factor in. When you have payments that are due, like the bill is coming due, and it's racking up interest and penalties and fees, then in that scenario, that is an urgent debt. And you need to pay that off immediately. You need to pay that off immediately. And so whatever your zakatable assets are, let's say you have an investment. Okay, you have $10,000 in a savings account, but then you owe $10,000 in student loans and they're, you know, due. It's aggressively racking up interest and things like that. Then in that case, you do subtract it and you basically won't end up paying, you won't end up paying zakat. That's just your reality. Okay, but if it's a scheduled debt, right, where you're on, it's like a mortgage, then you only deduct. So one opinion is you only deduct for the month in which you're paying your zakat. At most, the most lenient position is that you can just deduct for that 1 year, the house payments that you're going to make in 1 year, and then you can basically deduct whatever that amount is from your assets. So that will have to be taken into consideration. So Saqib, right, you're right. So if it's not coming due right now, then the whole amount should not, if you're just on a monthly payment, you can just deduct the monthly payments, but not deduct the whole amount. Under normal circumstances, how student debts typically operate, where there's racking up crazy interest and it's very ruthless, then in that scenario, you need to be paying those off and you can deduct such a debt from your zakatable assets, and Allah knows best. Is there zakat on rental property on which you still have a mortgage? No. Rather, what you, there's not zakat on the value of the property. There's zakat on the income that you generate from that rental property, basically. So basically, it works just like any other money. The rental income that you have, if you spend it all, you pay no zakat. But if there's money left over to the point where it accumulates to a zakatable amount, then you'll pay zakat on it. But you do not have to pay on that rental property in and of itself. That is not a zakatable asset in and of itself. Okay? Very good. So, okay, someone's asking, if someone can continue to fast due to weakness or exhaustion, what's the penalty on missing the fast? There is no penalty. If you are not terminally or chronically ill, you'll just have to make up that day that you missed or that you had to break after zakat is over, after Ramadan is over. And if you are terminally and chronically ill where you're not able to fast, then you will pay $10 per fast that you are not able to keep. It's called fidya. Someone saying, should I pay zakat on the value of rental properties with no mortgage? Do I determine value based on the price I paid, or guess what I could sell for? So you do not have to pay on the value of a rental property. It is very different when you are flipping houses as opposed to you own it and it's a long-term thing that you own, then you do not pay on properties. There's some difference of opinion there, but that is my recommendation, that you do not pay on properties that you own, even if you are generating rental income from there. More so, you'll just treat your income as a zakatable assets if it accumulates and stays in your possession for a year. Wallahu ta'ala alam, and Allah knows best. Okay, the next question is, Okay, there's a couple of good questions here, but I'll just tackle one more question. All right, how should one control themselves and their thoughts when they're trying very hard not to commit a sin, but the temptation and desire to do it are very strong, especially if you really want it for yourself and everyone also indulges in it freely? So there's a couple of things here. Number one is that the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ala bi dhikrillahi tatma'innul qulub. You're looking for that strength to be able to overcome, to be able to push these evil thoughts out of your head, to not succumb to your desires. The remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most powerful resource. So whenever you start to feel weak, whenever those thoughts are popping into your head, then remind yourself of Allah. Make the dhikr of Allah. Right? Just remind yourself of Allah. Make the dhikr of Allah. And it'll give you strength. It's powerful. Number one. Number two is that, just like anything else, your strength and your capacity builds with time and effort and rigor. You can't give up. So you're struggling right now, but it will get easier. It will get better. You have to know that. You have to believe that. And you have to stick with it. Number three, so you mentioned something very specific, saying everyone also indulges in it freely. That sometimes looking at your influences and your environment and your surroundings is very important. And if you are trying to achieve good, you need to surround yourself with good. All right. And so try to find company and environment influences that are in line with what you are seeking, what you are pursuing, and what you, where you would like to be in life. Wallahu ta'ala alam bisawab. And Allah knows best. There was somebody with a follow-up question. Someone has less than the nisab gold. Should they need to pay zakat because it is so expensive these days? I understand there's a little bit of a difference of opinion. I would direct you to go and watch, you know, the workshop that Mufti Kamani conducted on zakat, because it requires a little bit more explanation. But very quickly, there are two standards for determining who is who is obligated to pay zakat and who is eligible to receive zakat. There is the silver standard, which comes out to like $500 at the most. It's actually less than that. And then there is the golden standard, which is like around $3,000. Okay. And they're both kind of drastic. My own personal recommendation, my own personal analysis of the situation is that I operate by the golden standard, by the gold standard. I know it's a little bit high, but I feel like that is what, in my analysis, in my estimation, in my experience, in my understanding, is most appropriate for our situation when an American audience is asking me that question. Okay. I know that Mufti Kamani agrees with that. That's why I'm quoting that. And there might be some scholars who go by the silver standard, and that's completely fine. They have every right to their opinion and their position. But that is my recommendation. Wallahu ta'ala alam bisawab, and Allah knows best. I really appreciate everyone tuning in for the Ramadan FAQs. This is happening here every day, 5 p.m. Please join us. Number two, tonight we have a very special program that's starting at 11:45 p.m. Central Time. All right, so right before midnight, it'll be Ustad Abdurrahman Murphy and I talking about forgiveness from Allah. We'll be talking about stories from the Quran, from the life of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, powerful verses from the Quran, a hadith of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, all focusing on the forgiveness from Allah. To get in that mindset, the spirit of the last 10 nights of the month of Ramadan, and to get that forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that'll be starting tonight, inshallah. And as always, before I log out, supportqalam.com. Be a part of the work that we're doing. Be a part of this mission of educating people all over the world, changing the world, making it a better place, inshallah, bidnillah. So go to supportqalam.com and text that link to everyone you know. And tell them that this is the best sadaqah jariyah that they can invest into. Your contributions will produce scholars, people like Ustad Abdurrahman Murphy, people like Ustad Fatima, people like Sheikh Mikael. It'll produce more and more of those people to teach people all around the world. It'll produce videos and workshops, classes and lectures and sessions like this. And it'll keep the podcast going that has benefited over 10 million people around the world. So inshallah, give and give generously. Jazakumullah khairan. Barakallahu feekum. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.